Thank you. We extend Christian greetings to each one. I can say I was richly blessed already this morning, the song service and also with the devotional. I thought it went very well in hand with what I felt led to share. I must confess that I have a weakness in how I do my notes. When I prepare for a message, I like to get a format down on paper and I make my notes. And I don't know, is it because I'm hard of hearing? But I like to look at people when I speak to them. And I also need to look at my notes to kind of keep me in proper perspective. Well, when I put my notes down, I try to leave some space between different thoughts. But then when I come back and go over it again, I get more thoughts and I jot that in there and it kind of fills the page up. And then when I get done, it's kind of a jumbled, hard to keep track of order there. But I mentioned to Brother Henry this morning about that, and I told him that I would a whole lot rather give a message without notes than to try to give a message without the aid of the Holy Spirit. So I desire an interest in, a continued interest in your prayers for me as we go through this. I trust that each one that is here will receive a special blessing from God. The most blessing that you can receive from God is allowing Him to minister to your heart. And as I share in Scripture and in thoughts, don't only listen to that, but listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. I'm depending on that. Coming to our message, I would like to ask each one of us, where are you at in your Christian life? When you look at your relationship with the Lord, where are you at? Do you have personal convictions on Bible print? Are your convictions based on the Bible? Do you recognize who God is and that this is His word to us? There is a question that I would like to ask you this morning. As a Christian, is it important to be a part or a member of a local church, a body of believers? Is that important? And that is a question that I do not want you to answer to me. Someday we must give an account to God. That is a question that I would like for you to ask God in the Spirit and allow Him to speak to your heart. Another question that I have that I think we do good to ask ourselves first, who or what is the church? And then another question that I want to elaborate on is, who am I? I'll probably expose myself quite a bit with that one. Who or what is the church? The church is an entity. It was designed by God through Jesus Christ. I would like to read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. Jesus was in communication with the disciples, and He had asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had communication there. Then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" In verse 16, chapter 16 of Matthew, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church was something that was in the mind of God, and then he sent his son, and his son instituted the church. In the Old Testament, the church is referred to by prophets as a royal diadem or a jeweled crown. In other places, it is referred to as a crown of glory. And it is also referred to in a couple different places, at least two, as the apple of God's eye. So as we think of the church is very special to God. Very special. Paul gives some direction. The church has a responsibility. Paul communicated with the Corinthian church. He gives some direction as far as the church. I would like to read a few verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. It says here, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The church is an entity that is special to God. It is not just some club or some organization put together by man to go have a good time. We are called to be separated unto God, sanctified to him. The church is also, it is the body of Christ. I would like to spend a good little bit of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I am amazed at the similitude of the Christian family, the church body, and the human body. The similarity there. I would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. We'll read through the end and think about how life is in the human body, how life is in the Christian family, and how life is in the church family as we go through here. Starting in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. It is interesting to me how that the human body is composed of many members, but yet it is one body. And if you look at the church, it is also composed of many families, and yet the church is one body. And when you look at the church as being the bride of Christ is composed of many different churches. And each church of Jesus Christ is a part of that bride. The body has many members, yet it's one body. The churches have several and some many different families, but they are one body. And then all the churches scattered over the whole world who are serving Jesus Christ, following the practices of his word, they are all together are the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming someday to receive his bride to himself. May we all be a part of that. Verse 12 tells of the body being one hath many members. It talks about that down through verse 14. And then if we look at verse 15 through 17, about how the foot shall not think that because it is not the hand, I am not of the body. Have you ever, as a young child, in your family at home, wished that you were born in a different family? Have you ever wished that you were someone else? That's a little bit what it's talking about here, about the hand saying to the foot that because I'm not the foot, I'm not part of the body. I wish I was something else. We do good to remember verse 18, where it says, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. How would it be if your arms were both on one side of your body? Or both eyes together on just looking in one direction? Or your ears all on one side? If you look at how your body is put together, God hath placed the members in their place as it has pleased him. Looking at verse 21 through 25, have you ever felt in your family or in the church, have you ever felt put down or belittled? Or made to feel as not important? That is not how the human body takes care of itself. You see, if you look at your hand, what can one hand do for itself? You know, when I itch somewhere, that hand cares for the whole body. It can reach around. But if this hand has an itch, it needs the other hand to take care of that. There are times when in church life that members experience hurt from another member. Have you ever scratched yourself too hard? Have you ever been eating and you bit yourself inside your mouth? Sometimes even the human body hurts itself unintentionally. But the human body also cares for itself. And when you hurt in some place in your body, the whole body hurts. When you sit down at the table and eat food, the mouth takes it in with the help of the hands, but the food that goes through the mouth goes and nourishes all the members of your body. Your whole body is nourished by what goes through your mouth. And in church life, God has dealt out different gifts to each one. And each one is blessed when we exercise those gifts and realize that they are for the benefit of others. As the hand cannot just take care of itself, it takes care of the whole body. So that the gifts that we have in a church body are for the benefit of others. I would like to look at who am I. We need to move on here. As I go through this, I would like for you to look at yourself. And may we all ask ourselves the question, who am I? I am Elmer Yoder, Elmer Leon Yoder, born in Augusta County, Virginia, on January 31, at 6:05 in 1964 at King's Daughter Hospital in Stanton, Virginia. Physically, that's what my birth certificate says. My parents, Simon and Arlene Yoder, at the time lived in Storch Drive, Virginia. My dad at that time was a poultry farmer. I have many memories as a young child growing up in our family. There were 11 siblings, 4 girls and 7 boys. I was smack dab in the middle of 7 boys. I had 3 brothers that were older, and I had 3 brothers that were younger. All 4 of my sisters were older. One is no longer living, as a brother is also passed on. I remember many good times in family life. I remember many bad times in our family. Our family had a lot of struggles. And if you have it well in your family, feel blessed. Try raising 11 children. I remember as a boy, my dad had a temper that sometimes he had a hard time to control. Somehow, I think this was passed down to some of us boys, and I think to me in particular. But before I forget, I would like to say this. My dad apologized several times for the many times that he messed up with us. He made that right. I do not feel bad towards my dad for those things. And I look at my dad and I'm convinced that there were some things he probably didn't have together. But I know I don't have it all together either. And we expect the grace of God to reach down and bridge the gap wherever we are. Interesting in family life how that we can benefit each other's. I will just tell one on myself. Something that happened just this past week. The hog barns that we have right now are over 20 years old. And so there's things in there that wear out. The other morning I came back there and one of my 4-foot fans, we have tunnel ventilation, and one of my 4-foot fans, the rivets holding the fans to the arms were rusted out. And when I came back, the arms were swinging around, but the fan blades were all laying down at the bottom. And so I decided we'll wait to chore till after breakfast. And I went over and picked up Wayne, and I kind of told him what we were into, and I told him to go ahead and chore and then come help me work on the fan. And so, meantime, I went and I got some of the fan blades were bent. I had to knock the rivets out that were still stuck in the holes. Then I got Wayne to go on the outside, and I was on the inside, and I kind of had to hunker down to get in the frame there so I could work on. I would hold a fan blade on and poke a bolt through the hole, and then Wayne would start the nut on the other side. Well, holding these fan blades onto the arms are 8 bolts that all have to line up to get them through. And these bolts did not want to line up in the holes. I'd put some of them in, and then it would get tight, and I couldn't get the others in. And I'm in there sweating, and it's dirty, and I'm trying to get these bolts in, and it's not wanting to cooperate. Finally, I had to go up, and I got a drill with a bit, and tried to drill out the holes that didn't want to fit, and then the bit would break off. I broke 2 bits doing that. And some of the holes, you couldn't get quite square with the drill, so you had to kind of drill crooked. The fan blades were made out of stainless steel, and it seemed like very hard metal, or my bits were kind of dull. And I was getting more and more frustrated with this thing because we kind of did the best we could with one paddle, and then that paddle kind of wanted to hit the housing a little bit. But I started putting the second paddle on and had the same trouble here. And, you know, the way that my mind works, I start thinking about the guy that invented this fan. And I thought to myself, it's no wonder this man is no longer in business. You can't, that company doesn't exist anymore, the one that made this fan. But here I was right in the middle of this thing, and you know, as we all are, we can't see ourselves. And then lo and behold, here comes Sheldon along. Wondered how's it's going. And I told him, not very good. These fan paddles just don't want to fit. He took one look at it and said, well, shut this other fan down. Something didn't look right to him. And so Wayne went and shut the other fan down, and he looked at it. Then he came and looked at the fan we were working on, said, Dad, you're putting the paddles on backwards. Who? I knew something was wrong, but I was in the middle of that thing, and I couldn't see it. So we took those fan blades off, flipped them over, and they worked beautifully. Didn't have to drill a one hole. They all fit. And in that way, I benefited from his gift. And I felt about this big. I should have known better. But I was so engrossed in what I was doing that I couldn't see it. And I didn't think it. when my brother Norman and Dad were still here. When our son Jesse wanted to get married, we had purchased a trailer, wanted to put that in a certain part of the woods. I got my dad and brother Norman over there to look, to give me advice on how and where I should put that trailer. And their idea was so much better than the one I had. I benefited from the gift that they had. And we put it in there like my brother Norman recommended. And we were very happy with that. People have different gifts, and that's one area that I am not as gifted in. And we can benefit from the gifts of others if we are not prideful. Pride is something that can stand very much in the way of enjoying each other's gifts, helping each other. That is just one example. But I would like to say this. If we have struggles with anger or discouragement or whatever it may be, God can help us overcome if we earnestly desire. Who am I? If we look inside ourselves, who really am I? I remember growing up, becoming a young man, taking a bride of my own. And we started our own family unit, ended up with having 7 children, 3 boys and 4 girls. As a family unit, parents are very concerned for each child to teach and to train. Can a parent forget a child? They sure can. I know Polly and I did. We left church here one time and had forgot one of the children. I remember as a young child getting lost. Those create some anxious moments for parents. The whole family gets involved. When I was young, we had a dog that would like to go at night and hunt coons. And he would be a silent stalker. He was a Norwegian elk hound. And very often, he would tree a coon. And he would bark all night. Till the next morning, after we were done with the chores, we'd go help him get that coon. And this one particular time, my brother Elwood and I went after that. After breakfast. And we took care of the coon, and then when it was time to go back, Elwood said we go this way, and I said we go that way. And well, we didn't want to be separated, so we went his way. And I remember we walked and we walked and we walked, and then we came to a place where we were there before. We were going in a circle. We were in a big woods with a lot of hills. And I remember we did not show up at home to go to school. So family got involved and they started getting the church people together to help look for us. They had no clue. Well, we ended up coming out. We grew up on where the big dairy is just down the road from the school. And we came out over on Briar Patch Lake Road down below Yoder Brothers. That was before Yoder Brothers was there. See, this was back in the 70s, 1970s. And we found a non-Mennonite lady in a trailer that she drove us home. And can you imagine the relief when we showed up? Jesus related about the lost sheep and leaving the 99 to search for the one. The account of the shepherd. You see, when one person shows up missing from the body, each one is special. Each one is very special. And each member can feel and contribute so much if everyone feels their place. Can a member separate from the body and be okay? I would like to turn to John chapter 15 and read verses 1 through 8. Jesus speaking here, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So important that we as members stay attached to the vine. Did you ever feel like running away? Did you ever feel like not being a Christian? Those of you who are Christians, we probably can all identify with those feelings. I remember as a young boy, studying and analyzing and deciding that I'm going to run away from home. I started saving up of my dad's money. See, we grew up on a dairy farm, and we sold all the bull calves, just about. We also sold milk out of our tank. And so us boys, when we'd sell a calf or we'd sell a milk, we'd stick the money in our pockets. And every so often, our dad would ask us for money. And then we'd get our wallets out, and then he'd kind of decide how much he would allow us to carry around. But I started keeping money back. I kept it in one of my drawers in the house. I was fed up. I also remember the time of communicating and confessing to my parents and handing that money back over. And what a blessing. Today I'm so glad I didn't give in to those thoughts. But coming back to, can a member separate from the body and be okay? I remember very well the day that I lost my finger. That finger was snicked off. Do you think that finger is alive and well somewhere today? That finger is very dead, probably doesn't even exist anymore. As other members of my body that are no longer there. The scripture here talks about uncomely parts. I have in my past, I no longer have an appendix. I no longer have a gallbladder. I don't have this one finger that's missing. The body can adjust and adapt without certain members. But every one of those members I no longer have, they are dead. Can a member do without the body? We'll let you decide. But this human body, it can do without some of the members. But these members cannot do without the body. It's the way we're made. The body works best when all the members are there doing their part. Sometimes the members can hurt each other. In church life, that happens. But we do good to remember when we are hurt that we have also probably hurt others sometimes. We all work and function the best when we care for each other. Did you ever notice how when a child in family life, when a child gets hurt, comes running to mom or dad can blow on the hurt and it makes it better? Well, what that tells the child is that the parent cares. And the care that you give is what makes it better. That is healing. I also remember as a young boy, at the age of 13 or 14, and giving my life to the Lord and being born again, committing my life to the Lord. That was such a good feeling. When you turn your life over like that and you become born again, you feel light as a feather. It is a feeling like no other. I also remember spiritually slipping and falling. So many times. But then getting back up, recommitting my life to the Lord. I remember years ago, preachers used to say that, you know, the falling down is going to happen, but it's when you stay down, when you don't get back up, that's when you're in big trouble. When you slip and you fall, that's why Jesus came. He knows what we're made of. That's why he came. Today, I am so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. To me, it's so important to be a part of a local church body, a group of believers I can feel at peace with. And it is not that the church is perfect. I could spend a lot of time looking at the imperfections of this church body. But us being able to be perfect in that way of our own self is not. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are cleansed and made free, and that we can be sanctified. There isn't a perfect church around anywhere that does not have faults. The Apostle John spoke of seven churches in Revelations. The Apostle Paul planted several churches. And in Revelations, it talks about some of the faults that some of the churches had. We always stand place for improvement. But I think we come far further in life if we focus on being a good member than trying to be so concerned that the church is perfect. Because with what judgment we judge, it will be meted back to us. We can always find fault with people, and I know I have many. But I am so blessed because God loves me anyhow. God accepts me anyhow. When I'm a part of a local body of believers, it enables me to be involved in helping, giving, loving, caring, and sharing, giving and receiving encouragement. It enables us to be there for each other. You know, when a family in a local church body has trouble, the other families are there for you. They should be. If a church is functioning as the body of Christ, that's what we're here for, to help each other. So who am I? I have a list here. of who I am. And as I read this list, I would like for you to apply yourself. This is who you are as a child of God. As a child of God, I am blessed. I am chosen. I am loved. I am a branch on the vine. I am His creation. I am His workmanship. I am accepted. I am forgiven. I am set free. I am redeemed. I am His child. I am a member of the body of Christ. Today, I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. The church is a special entity divinely instituted by Jesus Christ. He purchased her with His own precious blood. Let's kneel and pray.